This is a very special day. It's even a very special day for me. It's the first day that I've seen my mother on Mother's Day for I don't know how many years. And we're glad to have you here. Now, if you remember at the end of the book of Genesis, Jacob had taken his 11 sons and all of their families to go live in the land of Egypt. The second youngest son's name was Joseph. And at the time, he happened to be the number one vizier under the Pharaoh of Egypt. The sons of Jacob were given the land of Goshen in which to live. About 360 years later, the next generation of Egyptian pharaohs apparently had no memory of Joseph. They didn't remember the great Hebrew leader who saved Jacob during the famines. Thus, the book of Exodus opens, and you can almost see this national census being done. And after all of the results are tarried, they realize that the Egyptians were now in the minority. There were more Hebrew people around than Egyptian people. Well, of course, if there's more people, that means that they are harder to control. So their solution for this problem was twofold. First, we're going to enslave the Hebrew people with extremely hard work. And if that doesn't work, we're going to practice serious population control. And so in Exodus chapter 1, we see how the Egyptians command the Hebrew midwives to put all the Hebrew boys to death. But Exodus 1, verse 17 gives us a wonderful explanatory statement about the Hebrew midwives.
可是从1章17节, 我们可以看到这个希伯来的收生婆,
it simply says, the Hebrew midwives, however, feared God.
但是收生婆,
thus, Pharaoh had commanded his own people to kill the Hebrew children. And it's in this context where we meet a woman whose name that we never learn until Exodus chapter 6, verse 20.
所以在这里我们看到一个人，他的名字一直没有提出来，一直到第六章才提出来，第六章二十节。
And this is what it says.
This is
Exodus 6, verse
20.
It says, Amram married his father's sister, Jochebed, who bore him Aaron and Moses.
这里说,安兰娶了他父亲姐妹约基别为妻,他给他生了亚伦和摩西。
Jochebed is a Hebrew name which means Yahweh is glory.
那么这个名字的意思呢,就是说耶和华是荣耀。
And so Jochebed ends up giving birth to probably the most famous man in the entire Old Testament.
所以很可能他的约基别所生的是整个的希伯来人里面最有名的人。
The year was approximately 1525 BC.
这个时候大概是1525年,公元前1525年。
Which is about 3,500 years ago.
大概是3,500年以前。
And the actions that we see that Jochebed taking really aren't much different than the actions we see mothers today taking. Have the actions of mothering really changed that much in the past
3,500
years? I don't think so.
我想,
I think it is safe to say that Jochebed's actions are typical of most mothers today. She did what she was thought was right and best for her child.
她所做的是她认为对她孩子最好的，也是对的。
Thus, on Mother's Day, we honor all mothers.
所以在母亲节我们要
For what they do daily and on a consistent basis. Now, we realize that no mother is perfect. All of us are going to make mistakes. But mothers are to be honored and commended for their efforts and their work. So I think that one lesson that we can learn from this passage of Scripture is that we must honor our mothers for the work that they do. And Jochebed's actions serve as an example of what most mothers do. So why should mothers be valued? And we're going to look at four reasons this morning. First of all, they recognize the value of life. They work to preserve the lives of their children. They make provision for the safety of their children. And they care for their children. Let's look at the first point. Mothers recognize the value of life. Verse 2 in our passage says,
在我们今天念的第二节这里说,
She gave pregnant and gave birth to a son, and she saw that he was a fine child. She hid him for 3 months.
那女人怀孕生的一个儿子,见他俊美,就藏了他三个月。
Now, Jochebed looked at the little baby Moses and realized that he was, some versions translated, beautiful. The NIV translates it with the word fine. But it's a very, very interesting word. Turn to Genesis chapter
1.
Do you remember what's happening in Genesis chapter
1?
God is creating the world with His speech. It's the very act of God speaking that causes the world to come into existence. And not only does God's speech create the world in this passage, His speech declares what He made to be good. Look at verse 4.
看第四节,
it says, God saw that the light was good.
神看光是好的。
Look at the last verse of the chapter.
我们看创世纪的最后一节,
it says that God saw all that He was made, and it was very good.
这里说神看他自己所造的一切都是好的。
The word good, right here in Genesis 1,
这个在第一章这里所说的好,
is the exact same word for good or beautiful or fine that's found describing Moses in Exodus chapter 2.
也是同样在这个第二章这里出埃及记这里用来描写摩西的。
Jochebed and Amram looked at Moses and realized that he was good. Yes, the term speaks of the beauty of a baby. But it also speaks of the value of human life. The Bible teaches that life begins at conception.
圣经教导我们生命在怀孕的时候开始。
And a mother is a mother from the point that the baby is conceived.
所以那个母亲也就是一开始小这个小 baby 一开始怀孕就做母亲。
Now, if you've ever held a young child or a young baby, you realize that there's something precious about them.
假如你曾经抱过小一个小孩子的话，你会了解小孩子的价值多宝贵。
I will remember when Annette's sister's youngest child was born.
我记得当 Annette 她最小的她的sister 的小孩子出生的时候。
Annette and I arrived at the hospital and we were in the delivery room about 3 minutes after the child was born.
对，我们到医院的时候，刚刚好在小孩子出生以后不久。
And all the baby looked a little bit red and a little bit squished. You just couldn't help but loving it.
那个小 baby 看起来好像很红红的，你不得不爱。
Yesterday, which was about a year after the child was born, I actually had a chance to hold her.
昨天刚好是小孩子出生一年左右，我有一个机会去抱他。
And I realized again how precious children are.
我再一次发现小孩子们多宝贵。
She would smile and coo and giggle.
所以她会笑，会发声。
And she even said something that sounded like "uh-oh" when she dropped the spoon.
她在调羹掉的时候，她会说 "uh-oh."
See, babies are precious.
这小孩子们是很宝贵的。
Because human life is precious.
因为人生命是宝贵的。
Human life is precious.
因为人的生命宝贵。
Because God declared it to be precious.
因为神宣布他们是宝贵的。
He declared it to be good.
他宣布他们是好的。
Mothers recognize the value of human life simply in their decision to have and to care for their children.
一个母亲从他们照顾一个孩子的行为上表现他们认为生命是好的。
Let's look at point number two.
我们看第二点。
Mothers work to preserve the lives of their children.
他们竭力保存儿女的生命。
Hold your finger here and turn to Hebrews chapter 11.
我们现在回到这个希伯开到翻到希伯来第十一章。
We're going to read Hebrews 11 verse 23.
我们会念十一章二十三节。
This is what Scripture says.
圣经这样说。
By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born, because they saw he was no ordinary child, and they were not afraid of the king's edict.
摩西生下来，他的父母见他是个俊美的孩子，就因着信把他藏了三个月，并不怕亡命。
And this is a reference to our verses in Exodus chapter 2.
这里是谈跟我们出埃及记第二章所讲的相同。
Verses 2 and 3.
这二节跟三节。
It says, she hid him for 3 months, and when she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and coated it with tar and pitch, and she placed the child in it and put it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile.
就藏了他三个月，后来不能再藏，就取了一个蒲草箱，抹上十七和石油。将孩子放在里面，把箱子搁在河边的芦苇中。
Moses' mother hid him for a period of 3 months.
摩西的母亲把他藏了三个月。
Afterwards, somehow or another, we aren't told, it becomes impossible to hide him.
后来呢，我们不知道为什么他没有办法再藏了。
Perhaps the soldiers were doing more house-to-house checks.
也许那个时候军人们每一家挨户去寻找。
In order to try to kill the children that they found.
想要把他们找到孩子都杀掉。
So Jacob did something very interesting.
那么在这里约基也做了一件很有趣的事。
It says that she got a basket for him and coated it with pitch.
她找了一个箱子把它抹了石漆跟石油。
Literally, it says she made an ark and she put tar in it on the inside and the outside.
那么换句话说她就是做了一个小舟。然后把这个里面跟外面都抹了石油。
Just a brief footnote.
我给注解。
Does this sound like any other passage of scripture that we know of?
这里像有记不记得有其他的经节跟这很相像。
Where someone makes an ark and is saved by water.
有个人造了个船，然后可以救水灾。
It is a parallel back to Genesis chapter 6.
所以这个在这个出埃及记的第六章那里，这个相同了。
But the important thing about this passage is that, that Jochebed did everything that she could to preserve the life of her child. But how do mothers work at preserving their children's life today? How many of you that when your children were younger, or maybe you have young children right now, the children like to play outside? A lot of the children like to play outside. And say your child was playing with the ball and all of a sudden the ball rolled in the street. And you see the child all of a sudden run out towards the street to get the ball. But the child's vision is so myopic that all he sees is himself and the ball. But being a mother, you're much more aware of that child. And you see a car coming. And you say, "Don't run in the street!" And after dinner around the table that night, you look at your children and you say, "Thou shalt not run in the street." See, there's a reason that parents set rules for their children. It keeps them safe. And not only can a mother's discipline preserve the life of a child physically, but a mother working with and training her children in the truths of the scriptures can aid in the preservation of the spiritual life of the child. Proverbs 22:6 says,
在申言22:6节这样子说,
"Train a child in a way he should go, and when he is old he will not depart from it." Now this verse is not necessarily a promise. All of the Proverbs are axiomatic. That means that there are general statements of truth that portray the life should, the way that life should be within a perfect universe. A universe without sin. They simply describe what is normal. But within a sin-cursed world, things are simply different in how they work because, simply put, people sin. But a mother who trains her child in the Word of God, with the message of truth that's ultimately found within the Holy Scriptures, will make the most lasting impact on her child's spiritual life. Not because there's something intrinsically good within the mother herself, but because the Word of God is used by the Spirit of God. And that's what has the ultimate power to change the life. So let's take the two ideas. The idea of physical discipline, that a child must be disciplined to obey immediately, and that a child must be disciplined to obey the scriptures. Turn over to Proverbs 13:24. Proverbs chapter
13:24.
This is what Scripture says.
圣经这样子说,
"He who spares the rod hates his son, But he who loves him is careful to discipline him.
不忍用杖打儿子的，是恨恶他，痛爱儿子的。
What does Proverbs 13:24 mean by the concept of rod?
在这里，它这个杖是什么意思呢？
It's very, very literal.
这是很正确的解释。
A rod, simply put, is a stick.
一个杖就是一根杆子。
How can you use a stick to discipline?
你又怎么样用一根杖来管教？
It's a piece of wood that's used to apply correction to the seat of discipline.
对，这是用一块木头来管教应该做的行为。
In other words, there is pain involved with discipline.
换句话说，这里面会有痛。
The rod applies pain to the child so that the child learns that certain actions are undesirable to do.
所以用这个杖，把孩对孩子带来痛苦。
Why?
Because
if they do it, it hurts.
假如他们做的话,
this verse implies that disobedience from your children should be associated for pain for them.
换句话说,假如你的孩子不听话,
this is what the scripture says.
这是圣经的教导。
It says, if you spare the rod, you hate your children.
假如你不用杖打孩子，是因为你恨恶他。
But if you love him, you will discipline him.
假如你爱他，你就教养他。
On the other hand,
从另外一方面看,
what does correct discipline do?
一个正确的教养应该怎么样呢？
It teaches us who God is and what God is like.
教导我们神是什么，这是谁，神是什么样子。
It teaches us that God is just and that God punishes sin.
就告诉我们神是公义的，神要惩罚罪。
The child will learn this physically by feeling an illustration of how God treats sin.
这小孩子们可以从亲身的经验了解神怎么样惩罚罪。
Negatively,
从反面来看呢,
a child that has not been disciplined,
一个小孩子没有受过教养,
who is told that he is a sinner before God,
告诉他说他在神面前是个罪人。
That he has ultimately offended a holy God.
他已经得罪了一个神圣的神,
and that the punishment of his sin is death.
那么这罪的公价就是死。
Without having a physical illustration of what the wrath of God actually means,
假如没有一种实际上神是罪恶是什么意思的一种经验的话,
the child will not believe that his sins are that bad.
小孩子不会相信,
or that his sins deserve punishment. Or even that God is just in punishing his sins. God simply becomes a mean person. Who will not give the deserving child the things that he wants.
他不给一个孩子他自己所想要的东西。
In short,
简单的说,
how could a child ever believe that he is really bad?
一个小孩子怎么会了解他自己是坏的呢?
Or believe that God will really punish him for his sins?
或者怎么会了解神会惩罚他的罪呢?
Or really even become a Christian?
或者一个小孩子怎么能够变成个基督徒呢?
If he's not disciplined.
假如他没有受过教养。
Parents,
做父母们,
if you do not properly discipline your children,
假如你不适当地教养你的孩子,
you are not teaching your child who God is.
你没有教导你的孩子们认识神。
It's even worse than that.
更坏的话,
you are building into your child a false view of God. And frankly, it's the worst thing we could ever do. So mothers who discipline their children are concerned with preserving the lives of their children. And really, mothers deserve honor for preserving the lives of their children. Let's look at point number three.
我们看第三点。
Mothers make provision for their children's safety.
为儿女们的安全做准备。
And this is really found in verse 3 through verse 5.
这个就在第三节跟第五节这里。
And you remember what happens in this account?
这个记载你知道是什么事情。
Jochebed takes the basket, goes down to the Nile River, and places it in.
守约基别把它放在箱子里面。
She has probably done everything that she can do to protect the child from the alligators that are living in the Nile River. And in order to not seem suspicious, she sends her daughter to keep an eye on the child. Think about it. There's a child in a basket in the river. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh's daughter, when she hears the child crying and pulls him up out of the water, sees a Hebrew mother hiding in the bushes. So do you see the problem? She tried to hide there herself to protect her own child. It would have even made it worse. Oh, you're trying to help your child. And the Egyptians, most of them without compassion. The soldiers probably would have kept the edict of the Pharaoh and made it worse.
所以这些军人们会遵守埃及王的命。So
Jochebed, in her wisdom,
所以约基别有聪明,
sends her daughter Miriam,
她叫她的女儿去,
to look after Moses.
去照顾摩西。
How do modern mothers watch out for the safety of their children?
现在的母亲怎么样为孩子们的安全着想呢?
This one is really easy to answer. There's an entire industry around it. They make little plastic plug covers for the outlets. They make little gates that you can put in front of stairways and in front of kitchens so the children can't get to a place where they'll either fall down the stairs or hurt themselves or they'll hurt themselves on something in the kitchen. There are many ways that modern mothers attempt to keep their children safe. How do they care for their children that are a little bit older and that are teenagers? A lot of them can be concerned with what friends do the children have. How do your children's friends affect them? And if your children don't necessarily have the right friends, then they're probably going to be drawn into something that you wouldn't want them to do. Or even worse, it's something that God wouldn't want them to do. Mothers who are concerned with their children's safety will think about these things. They'll think about what's best type of games for their children to play. What kind of movies they should watch on TV. What kind of food they should eat and how healthy they should be. When they go outside, they're concerned with making sure they put on sunscreen so they don't get sick. Mothers ought to be honored because they are concerned with their children's safety. And finally, mothers care for their children. And in verse 8, this is what Scripture says. So the girl went to get the baby's mother, and Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this baby and nurse her for me, and I will pay you." So the woman took the baby and nursed him. So of course Jochebed cared for the physical needs of her child. But I really think that her care for her child went much deeper than that. We don't know how long Moses lived with her mother. It could have been just a few years. He could have lived there until really he was 12 or 13. But what do we find Moses doing by the time he's 40? He's remembering something, some connection that he has with his people. He somehow remembers the God of heaven and how the people ought to be treated and that there's a place that the people ought to go. I think that at this point, Jochebed was teaching Moses the family history. Where else would Moses learn much of the information that he wrote in the Pentateuch? He knew his family history. He knew the accounts of Abraham. And so out of all of the people in the whole world, God looks at Abraham and says, I am choosing one person to bless. And he says, out of you, I will make a great nation. He may have been remembering Jacob and his sons. And saying, I am a part of the blessings of Levi as described in Genesis chapter
48.
He may be looking at how long his people have been living in Egypt. And remembering the accounts of Genesis chapter 15, where God cuts a covenant with Abraham. And where we have, really, in Genesis chapter 15, beginning in verse 12, Abraham falls asleep. And in verse 13 it says, the Lord said to him, know for certain your descendants will be strangers in a country not their own, and they will be enslaved and mistreated 400 years. And it says, they will come out from there with great possessions. Perhaps as the little boy Moses is sitting there learning his numbers and learning some of the basic mathematics of the Egyptians. Thinking back to the dates and times, thinking, you know, it's only about 40 years until we're supposed to come out of Egypt. And I think that Moses knew the promises of God. The promises that God had given to him and his people. But how would he have learned these things? I think his mother taught him. The primary responsibility for teaching the scriptures to the children it does not lie with the youth leader. The responsibility does not lie with the youth leader's wife. It does not lie even with the pastor's wife. It does not lie with the pastor. The responsibility of teaching your children the content of what is found in this book is that of the parents. It is the parents' responsibility to teach their children the scriptures. And as a mother, do you want to give ultimate care for your children, not just physically? Then as a mother, as a father, you must teach your children what the scriptures say. You must teach them through your discipline who God is. Which provides an illustration for what you're teaching them in the content of this book. Mothers ultimately deserve honor because they truly do care for their children. Let me be very, very practical for a few moments. As a parent, how can you work actively to teach your children the scriptures? First of all, you can have a daily time where you read it to your children and you read it with your children. If your children are old enough to read, make them read it to you and help them to learn their reading by reading the scriptures with them. Second of all, you can sit down with your children and drill it into their heads over and over and over again. Until they have it memorized. And thirdly, they need to see you reading it on your own. Mothers who care for their children will not only care for them physically, but they will also care for them spiritually. Mothers in our day and age are known for caring for the physical needs of their children. And usually parents sacrifice for the advancement of their children. They see that their children get a good education. They see that they are well fed. They see in this country that they have the most athletic opportunities and the most musical opportunities as possible. And these things aren't bad things. But are they the most important? Is it really important that your child ends up with a six-figure salary towards the end of their life? Or is it more important that your child loves and serves the living and true God? It is necessary to attempt to provide for all the needs of your child. In conclusion, we must honor our mothers for the work that they do. Mothers recognize the value of life. They work to preserve the lives of their children. They make provision for their children's safety. And they care for their children. Mom, thank you for the work that you did to raise me to fear God. Men, ladies, remember your mothers today and remember to thank God for them. husband,
会分感谢他们,丈夫们,
if you have children,
假如你有孩子,
look at your wife and thank her for all the work that she does.
你为你的太太,你要感谢她为孩子所做的事,
children of all ages,
所有的孩子们,
remember to thank your mother today.
要记得今天不要忘记谢谢你们的母亲,
but remember that the most important person to thank is the God of heaven who sovereignly ordained your mother over you. Let's close in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for the mothers that you have given us. Some mothers were excellent. And some mothers were only okay. But Father, we thank you for placing our mothers in our lives who truly did care for us. And deep down inside, wanted to really see that we were successes in life. And we pray, Father, that the parents here and that the future parents would cause their children to be successes in your eyes. That they would be faithful to discipline and faithful to teach the scriptures. Because it is through those words that we can become wise unto salvation. Help us to remember to thank our mothers and to thank you for them today. And Father, we pray all these things in your Son's precious name. Amen.
Amen.